All right, perfect. So let's go ahead and get started. So today's class is going to be about emotional healing. Now, emotional healing and emotional mastery, they almost feel like very vanilla subjects of like, oh yeah, emotional mastery. What is that? To have mastery over your emotions. Oh, emotional healing, healing my emotions. But we don't understand the depth of this subject and what it really means for the expression of a human, for the individuation process, and also for our spiritual growth. So, under this lens, we're going to explore emotional mastery as a prerequisite to empowerment, the path of individuation, which is basically stepping away from the matrix of the mother and the father and the lineage and creating your own path, and a spiritual mastery, which means uniting and mending and kind of like blending together our divine feminine with our divine masculine, our animal nature with our spiritual nature. So to understand emotional mastery, we first have to understand self-holding, the concept of self-holding. Whenever we are children and we experience an emotion, we don't know how to hold or regulate yet. So immediately we look for somebody to be like, look at me, I'm in this emotion. Then there's the crying, there's the screaming. It's like a way of, you know, going like, help me. And all of a sudden, another person is able to witness that, usually the mother. And when the mother witnesses that, she is observing this emotion. And then all of a sudden, you know, there's the regulation happening because the emotion is feeling seen, therefore it's creating soothing. We don't always get that. You know, there are instances where a lot of people grow up and they didn't have that paternal, maternal figure that was there present to witness their emotions. Or maybe the actual person that was around did not have the capacity of witnessing that emotion because it triggered them, like back into their inner child. So now we have two children that are like, ah. And nobody is holding, nobody's witnessing, nobody is regulating this emotion. The concept of self-holding is about learning how to do that for ourselves, how to be present with despair, with shame, with pain, with sadness, with anger, how to become present and contained within myself with all of these emotions. There is, you know, this is very obvious. Whenever there is like energetic healing happening, whenever you notice that there is you know, there is like people around that are witnessing a certain emotional expression. And whenever this is happening and we're seeing all of that, there is this tendency to, you know, for most people, I will say, a tendency of like things that are uncomfortable, immediately taking them on, or if they cannot take them off, sending them back. And then it just becomes this energetic soup of uncontained emotion. So to be able to self-hold means that whenever I'm feeling shame, despair, rage, all of these emotions, especially the emotions of, you know, fear, like, but like something's, I'll have the perfect example. Let's say that you are out at night with your friends. You feel comfortable, like you are a person that walks in safety. You know you're connected to your intuition. You trust life. But then you have a friend that maybe is afraid of going out at night. And then all of a sudden, she has all these scenarios of like, you're going to walk home. You can't walk home because something's going to happen to you. And then there's street is dangerous and blah, blah. And then there's all this fear. And in that moment, she's not self-holding in her fear because there is almost like an energetic wave of fear that's coming at you. If you're a person that has strong boundaries, you're like, oh, I'm so sorry. Sorry, you're so afraid. I'm fine. I feel fine. I am not afraid. If you don't have strong boundaries, what tends to happen is that you're like, oh my God, you're right. You either take it on or you get angry, or there's this like backlash of like, you know, like, okay, what should I do? It's almost like you step into their delusion in that moment. Self-holding is the person that feels the fear and is able to communicate it by saying, hey, it makes me really nervous that you're going to be walking late at night, so late. Do you mind just sending me a text message for like me? I know it's, you know, I know this is for me. This has nothing to do with you, right? If they need that reassurance, they're able to ask in that way. they're not mothering you to do it or fathering you to do it. They are not trying to get you to also feel afraid with them in their reality. They understand that it's a fear. That is a person that is able to self-hold, meaning that they take full responsibility for their emotions, for themselves, and they don't unconsciously project it on other people. Keyword there, unconsciously projected. Like if I just do it like that, and if I don't see it, I don't see it. Like the people that do that constantly, they don't know they're doing that. They don't know they're projecting their own fears and insecurities onto you. So it's your job to remain self-containing yourself and remain with strong energetic boundaries to not get carried away and not accept any emotion that you don't want to deal with yourself in that moment. That's emotional mastery, to be able to self-hold your own emotions and to be able to self-hold yourself in a way that you have strong boundaries, that they don't allow other people's emotions to just come in uninvited, unwelcome. So how do we get to this process? And this is the magic of alchemy. So in alchemy, we are transmuting energy. We are alchemizing lead into gold. It's a process of transformation. Every time there is an emotion that does not feel good in the body, there's going to be a natural tendency to reject it, misplace it, project it, or suppress it. This is just the way we're built. When we embark on the process of alchemical transformation, what we're doing is that we're using all of these uncomfortable negative feelings and emotions as energy that we observe and release back to ourselves by simply observing them without judgment. Another way of saying this is I witness all of the emotions I feel without judging them. I love all aspects of myself. I am able to be present with all parts of myself. These uncomfortable things, remember, the tendency is to reject it, project it, or suppress it. Like that's like the natural tendency of doing that. But whenever we make a conscious decision of, if I'm feeling this, I'm going to feel it, like really feel it, without pushing it away, without judging it, and without giving it back another emotional reaction like anger or judgment. I am loving it. That's loving. I am loving it because I am witnessing it without judgment. And whenever we do that, we are transmuting that energy into gold. What is gold? Well, the nectar of life, power, energy, life force, wholeness. We are becoming more whole in that process. So as we're becoming more whole in that process, we have more to hold ourselves with. It's like, there's more of us and we are growing spiritually and we're growing in essence and we're deepening our wisdom. And that is what gives us wisdom, is whenever we do this process enough with all of the little things, over time, we're able to extract the nectar of this, which translates into wisdom, spiritual wisdom, so that we can share with others, so that I can remind myself, so that I don't forget and I don't fall back into the illusions of this reality. The illusions of this reality lead us into disconnection, into fear, into war, into distortion, into shame, into guilt, into judgment. But my wisdom is what keeps me from that. My wisdom is like the angel within, the guru within, the guide within that reminds me, hey, don't listen to the devil. The devil is like this energy of lies and illusions pulling us away from our nature. This is the gift of emotional self-mastery. Is to have the ability of embracing and feeling wisdom fully within and creating something with it. Whether it's just wisdom that you receive in yourself for yourself so you can expand your life, or whether it's something that you share with the people around you, or whether it's something that you use for creativity or for work or for, you know, expansion or for feeding on other people. It's your wisdom. And for me, life is a school. It's like life is a teacher. Life is a teacher. We're learning about letting go life and death, all of these dualities, to arrive back at the truest perspective, which is the oneness of it all. But this is, it takes a whole life. So when we're here in life, we get to interact with emotions, with our own emotions. And the feminine path is about inner exploration. The feminine path is about exploring the self. The externalized form of this, like the, you know, the polar opposite, the so-called traditional masculine path, is about exploring the world, exploring the environment, outward, exoteric, feminine, esoteric, hidden, within. So when we're able to hold this kind of space for ourselves, we're able to naturally hold that space for others. There was a particular incident where I remember one day I was angry. And when I'm angry, like, it takes a while for it to cook. I don't just like go off. It's like, it's usually like a dun dun. Dun, 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 dun. Like it just evolves throughout a day. It usually takes me a few hours to like begin building it up. But when I was, I remember I saw this friend, a friend, an acquaintance, and I was just like, I am furious because this happened and I'm feeling this and I'm expressing, right? Like that's like the purge of this situation that had nothing to do with this person. And I realized she couldn't hold that. She was trying to immediately, well, you shouldn't be angry. Like she was trying to suffocate that anger because she wasn't comfortable with her own anger. And I quickly saw it. I realized it very fast. And I'm like, okay, I cannot, this is not a person that can hold me that way. So I have to hold myself in this moment. And I have to almost like contain myself. And then I'm able to continue interacting with her. Otherwise, it's not gonna happen. She's going to try to strangle my anger, and then I'm gonna get angrier. So I just kind of tuned out to what she was telling me, the advice she was giving me about how to not be angry about this situation that was obviously making me angry. Tuned it out, took a deep breath, and I'm like, it's okay. I just expanded myself. See, I didn't make my anger smaller. I expanded myself. And when I expanded myself and I had enough space for all of that rage that I was feeling, and almost for like the enjoyment of just like saying it out loud, like the passion and like the freeing energy of like, you know, the scream. And I contained it. I was able to keep on having a lovely night. Where all of a sudden I had to remind her, I was like, hey, why are you still talking about this? I'm not angry anymore. I was angry when I got here, but I'm not anymore. I've been making jokes. I've been talking about this. Why are you still holding on to that? Can you let it go? Boom, the reset happens. Because then all of a sudden, the anger that I triggered in her, she's going to have to do the same because I'm not taking her anger either. It's like, no. I gave you my, like, I didn't give her mine. I expressed mine in it, but because she couldn't hold it, she got angry. And then her own anger is like pouring in. And all of this emotional stuff, like this is the realm of the feminine, all of these emotional soups. And we learn amongst ourselves how to create containment and separation. Now, I don't have that problem with another friend that she's also very self-containing her anger. When she comes at me with her rage, I'm like, yes, yes. I'm like summoning the fires with her. Same thing. Whenever I'm in like my rage and I'm like, can you believe that? No, I cannot. Ah! And we're like burning together. There's this like sense of release and enjoyment that we can have without projecting onto one another because we're both self-contained in our own expression. And it is an expression. Basically, the way that it looks externally, it's the same. For me to project my anger onto you versus expressing my anger self-contained, it might look to, you know, the average eye the same way. But energetically, it feels very differently. Energetically, the self-contained person doesn't carry other people around them with them to their inner hell. And the magic of being able to arrive at this place of containing myself emotionally is that I am able to hold space for other people. So, and that doesn't only happen with rage. That happens with any emotion. If you are somebody that is self-contained in your sadness, in your grief, in your guilt, in your shame, you become a safe space for that energy to express itself. It doesn't break you. It doesn't penetrate your own auric field. This whole concept of like, well, because I'm an empath, I pick up everybody's energies. No, you're not. I'm also an empath, but I've learned to self-contain my energy. That's the empath that is not self-contained. This isn't to create like more judgment or be like, you're not self-contained. This is to bring awareness into a very subtle way of relating to our emotions. And that's why, you know, I call like the Venusian Academy a space for the feminine arts, because it isn't a science. It doesn't have step one, take three deep breaths. Step two, write that. Like this is an art, and art is different for all of us. My art, like there's nobody else that can make art like my art, because my art is an expression of my essence, and all of our essence is unique. Absolutely unique. Every soul is unique. We're very, very similar in so many ways. We are very similar in, you know, our patterns. And it's like we can relate to one another. And at the same time, equally truth, we also cannot relate to every aspect of everybody. Every human being is a world and a universe of themselves. So in this expression of my art, I decide how I build this emotional container around myself. How do I self-contain? Good questions to ask ourselves to determine this is, am I able to bear this emotion by myself? Or do I immediately jump into calling my friend, texting my friend, getting the tarot card deck? What is my method of feeling accompanied in this feeling? Because if I'm constantly abandoning that feeling, because I'm like, no, I need something. I need to tell it to somebody. It's like, I need to share the feeling with somebody. That is showing us that there is an inability to self-hold that particular emotion. This is key information that we get to know about ourselves. This isn't to say like, good job, you get a golden star. No, this is like, okay, I'm able to contain this energy, but not this one. So this energy that I don't know how to contain, I'm going to need to spend some more time with it. Me with the emotion. What does it feel like? Can I feel it? Do I collapse? Can I hold the energy? So empowering other people to also hold their emotions is empowering people to heal themselves, to become their own healers. You know, I've had a really hard time embracing the title of healer, because like I only heal me. I cannot heal anybody else. But it seems that in society, like if I say I'm a healer, it's like I'm expected that I am healing other people, or that I have some modality that heals other people. And that is not true. It's like, I am a healer of me. Oh my God, that's brilliant. I'm going to add that to my Instagram bio. I am a healer of me. That's it. And maybe in my shares and the openness, then you become the healer of you. I mean, you already are, obviously. But it's like, can we step into that role, into the responsibility of, I am only the healer of myself. Oh, I heal other people. No, no, you don't. Can we love other people? Yes. And love heals. See? So from that perspective, yes, we can be the healers of other people. But that's just our essence. That's what we are. We are love. So obviously we're walking around and we're healing the world in our love. But how can we love? When we love ourselves. That's the only time that we can genuinely love other people, that they can actually feel it as love, is whenever we have so much love for ourselves that it will overpours outside of our aura. And then it's just like out and we feel it. Like that's true love. That's true love. Love for the self that extends itself outside for others. One of the most difficult energies to be with for a woman is the energy of shame. And today I share in my newsletter a story that was really packed with shame. And I was like, I wonder, like, what is this going to almost like trigger in this space, in our little community here, people that like we connect over this medium, because it is once like I've seen this pattern of like once there is shame, it's like people disappear. They almost have to be like, I cannot look. That's what shame does. I cannot look and I don't want to be seen. Shame is like the darkest foe, the biggest enslaver of human psyche, of sexual energy. So empowerment is about being able to hold all of those emotions, including shame, including fear, including despair, the unbearable ones. Because holding emotion is holding power. My ability to hold emotion is equal to my ability to hold power. This is the importance of self-holding and self-containing. I am going to say this one more time. My ability to hold my emotions is equivalent to my ability to hold power. Feminine empowerment is about holding all of my emotions. Because the feminine in all of us is this watery, fluid, mysterious energies within ourselves. That's feminine empowerment, which is different from woman's empowerment, which is to bring woman to, bring power to woman. But feminine as an energy in the world is about emotional holding. That's why a conversation about emotional healing, as basic as it sounds, is so profound, because it's the root, it's the foundation. It sets the stage for all this. It sets the stage. It's that simple. When we are exploring the realm of individuation, individuation is getting out of the paternal and maternal grip of the matrix, of our family lineage, of the programs that our parents had to break free from, and the ones that they couldn't break free from, we break free from them. And over time, we're all breaking free from some old dead idea, mindset, program. And this is the process of individuation. In order for us to take on that journey, we have to learn how to self-hold. So self-holding is the first step that allows us to step into individuation. And individuation leads me into a path of, I am separate from this matrix. I am an individual. Like, I am unique, yes, we're all one. But in this life, in this material three-dimensional Maya-induced life, I happen to be Silvana and you happen to be you. We are two individuals. So if I'm an individual, this is what I have to explore. This is my project in this lifetime. Exploring this sacred vessel, this being that I am. Because I'm able to self-hold and I don't need to like hold on to the world, I'm able to actually take on that journey towards myself. And this is what leads us into spiritual mastery. Exploring our divinity as an individual and not as a continuation of my lineage. I'm able to explore my divine nature within myself as an individual, as a solo journeyer, going into the full, deepest unknown of myself, because I already walked away from the paternal and maternal matrix. I pulled away from this, from the stories of the lineage, and I'm stepping into this very unique part of my soul that has the spiritual gold for myself. This is spiritual mastery. So it starts, I mean, and by the way, this isn't something that you do like step one, step two, step three, and then all of a sudden you are a master. I mean, well, you know, that's what life is for. The entirety of life, not just, you know, not just a few years of life or three decades or 65 years. No, no, no. It's like until the day that you die, we're all going to be in this process until we die, all of us. Now we can share our wisdom with each other and we can express and connect, and I can tell you my stories and you can tell me yours. And from that, we can be like, wow, I feel that. I'm getting this. Like, there's this sharing of wisdom. We do that with one another. We're helping each other grow. But at the end, this is a solo journey. Life is a solo journey. We come and we go on our own by ourselves, because that journey is within. And the biggest obstacle to this energy of self-holding and the pattern that I've seen years after years, experience after experience, I've seen it with friends, I've seen it with clients, I've seen it with students. It's like the energy that is the most difficult for people to be present within their life is the energy of shame. And whenever it comes to women, it's connected to their sexual shame. Their sexual shame for either having sex, not having sex, for being sexual, for not being sexual, for saying yes, for saying no. Whatever angle you look at it from, there is shame in all of it. In all of it. There's shame for being too religious. There's shame for being too promiscuous. There's shame for the frigidity and for the over-sexuality. Like, it's like there's no winning point here. There's no winning point. What does this tell us? The entire energy of sexuality, female sexuality, is slaved by the energy of shame. Sexual shame is feminine shame. And if we know this and we become self-holders of our own shame, so the world cannot throw that at us anymore, because we create boundaries around that and we're like, nope, that's your shame, not my shame. You keep that on that side of the bridge over here. I took ownership of my shame. I'm here. I'm one with it. I'm self-holding this shame. I am contained in it. I have a boundary around it. I know what's mine. Oh, this is not my energy. You take ownership. If it's present in your life, you take ownership for it. This is my mother's energy. Well, if it's in your life, you take ownership for it. Feel that shame. Feel that shame. Purify that shame. Alchemize it. And that is the power of self-holding, of being able to become masters of our emotions, of individuating, of empowering ourselves. Feminine empowerment starts with sexual empowerment. This isn't just about the career and the space in the world and the emotionality and our reproductive rights. Like, you see, when we get into the body, then all of a sudden reproductive sexual, like, where is the line? It has to start with us, with claiming the responsibility for all of our sexuality, with demands that we claim responsibility for the shame around that sexuality. So I don't think I need to make a summary. I think I've been doing that throughout the entire lesson today. Short and sweet today, because I was feeling very, you know, to the point. But if you want to explore this, if you're interested in exploring sexual shame, liberating yourself from it and the trauma that sexual shame create, then make sure that you check out Sexually Emancipated, which is a course that I'm currently launching. And it starts on March 15 and is the deepest, most profound course that I've ever made in my entire career, because it's so deeply connected to my own story, to my process. It's connected to the journey that I've been through personally, that I shared today on my newsletter. And it's almost like my thesis to begin my life work. I think my life work is connected to the realm of sexuality and helping women just like break free of this enslaver of shame energy around it. So I am currently running, today's Thursday, February 22nd. I'm running discount for 20% off until Sunday, February 25th. And there's three tiers to join Sexually Emancipated. The first one is the online course, which you'll be able to see the pre-recorded classes. It's 8 weeks, one new video releases per week. The second tier is to get the online course with group coaching. And we're going to meet every Monday for 8 weeks following the lesson of the week to integrate and talk through it and walk through, you know, the little cracks and you know, to get into the yucky stuff together. And if you prefer to have private coaching, there's also the 20% discount is also going to apply to the private coaching piece of it. If you want to use the code, is the Shameless 20 is the discount code to get the 20% off. And I am going to leave the link on the chat. We only have you today, Violet. But anyways, there is the link. I'll put it also on the description box when I upload the video here and the podcast with this. And then next week I have a free workshop on sexual shame, healing from sexual shame. Because if you're able to learn how to move shame from the body, you can use, and especially if we step into a realm of sexual shame, then you'll be able to learn how to move it from any area of your life, from any emotional interaction. This is probably the most valuable emotional skill that you can have, is how to sit with that energy without collapsing, without despairing, without displacing or projecting. So I will be sending an email probably on Monday with the information for this free workshop, where we're going to have, you know, a couple somatic practices as well to move the energy. So I will leave you with that today. Thank you so much for coming live to you. Thank you for being here. If you're watching the recording, I also sent an announcement saying that I'm changing things up a little bit. I'm not going to be sending weekly reminders every Thursday on the newsletter. I'm just going to have all of the announcements inside of the Venusian Academy. So go to venusianacademy.com, enroll for the Mystery School, and then you'll be able to get access to a community, free masterclasses, a few free courses that are there. And I'm going to keep adding on stuff as we go with different resources to help you with your exploration of the feminine art. So thank you so much. Thank you as well, Violet. And I will see you guys next week. Have a beautiful weekend. Bye-bye.